Welcome to the Story Mine. My name is Kathy Barker, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Bullock.
Hey, Dave, it's Easter morning. Have you found any Easter eggs yet?
Well, only the ones that I cooked for breakfast.
Oh, Dave, I was going to boil them and color them for when the grandkids got here. Now we're out of eggs.
But they were sure tasty, and at least I've got a full tummy.
Well, what will the kids search for?
I've got an idea. Let's hide stories in the yard and let the kids look for them.
Well, they do like to hear stories. What story shall we tell them?
One of my favorite storytellers, and you know I only have a few, is Donald Davis. And he's got a story called Broken Bones. And I bet you know why I want to tell a story about broken bones.
Well, no. Why?
Well, it's an Easter story. And I went to the chiropractor to get a little bit of maintenance done when I was feeling good and didn't have any backaches or pops or creaks. And you know what? That he broke my ribs when he adjusted my back.
Thus, broken bones.
Broken bones. It's not been comfortable for me, and I sure do like my chiropractor, but ouch, every time I laugh, I feel hurt. And that's just what Donald Davis is talking about in his story called Broken Bones.
Well, gather round and let's listen to Broken Bones.
When you were a child, did you ever have the impression that you personally invented evil? Did your parents sometimes seem to try to make you feel that you were the only person in the world who had ever gotten in trouble? If so, these stories are for you. They will help remind you that trouble is purely genetic and lives on from generation to generation. Broken Bones. When I was a little boy, my mother taught school at the same school where my brother and I were students. We hated that. It was like having a spy at school all day long. And then in the afternoon, when we went home with our mother and finally got to go outside and play, she would always come to see what we were doing. My mother's child-raising motto seemed to be, "Don't do that." Which was one of the main reasons my brother and I loved to go to our grandmother's house. Our grandmother's motto was, "You are so cute." And no matter what we did at her house, she seemed to love it. Sometimes we would be at my grandmother's house, and my brother and I would do something that somehow seemed to annoy our mother. And whenever that happened, my grandmother would say, "Come here, boys. Let me tell you about when your mother was your age." Oh, did I love those stories. They helped me learn for sure that I had inherited trouble. Once we were at my grandmother's house, and she told us a wonderful story. It had happened when my mother was a little girl, about 7 years old. They lived on a farm far back in the Smoky Mountains in North Carolina, where my grandfather farmed with a team of oxen. One day, he went somewhere, and when he came back, he gathered the whole family together, and he said, "I bought something. Come out on the porch. Let me show you what I got." The whole family gathered out on the porch of that old house, and when they looked out into the yard, there was something under a big tree. My granddaddy pointed under the tree and said, "You see that thing? That is called a horse, and it's not a toy. That is a workhorse. I bought it. It's going to pull the plow. It's going to pull the mowing machine. It's going to pull the hay rake. It's going to pull the wagon. Don't play with it. And whatever you do, don't try to get on it." Well, 7 years old, that's all my mother needed to hear. She knew she either had to get on that horse or she would just die trying. She kept watching and watching for a chance to get close to the horse when no one was around. And one day when she was out in the yard, there was the horse tied behind the barn. No one was in sight. She went over to the horse. My goodness, it was big. 7 years old, she was a little girl. She thought, "How am I going to get up on the horse?" But you see, the horse was tied right beside a gate that went under the barn, and the gate was made of slats like a ladder. So she opened the gate out beside the horse, climbed to the top of the gate, and then jumped from the top of the gate and landed on the horse's back. The horse did not just stand there. The horse jumped, threw her off on the right-hand side, and she landed crumpled on her right arm, and she said in the split second before the pain came, she already knew she was in trouble. Her arm wasn't straight the way it used to be. She had broken her right arm between her elbow and wrist, both bones. Now, the real trouble was they lived about 15 miles from town. There was no way to get to town, and even if they had gotten there, they didn't even know a doctor. But up the road lived my granddaddy's brother, Uncle Will, and Uncle Will knew all about herbs. That would have to do. Uncle Will came down to the house. He took his pocket knife, cut a little limb off a willow tree, and whittled down the sides until they were a flat splint that would fit on either side of her arm, and then, ready for this, they put my mother at the kitchen table, laid her arm on the table. My granddaddy got hold of her so she couldn't move. Uncle Will got on the other side of the table, put his knee against the table, grabbed her wrist, pulled her arm as hard as he could, and they strapped the splints to her arm while he was pulling it, and that's the way her arm healed up. Well, she broke the arm in the late winter time. That's when my granddaddy got the horse so it would be ready for springtime. She wanted her arm to get well by Easter because her mother, my grandmother, had made her a new Easter dress. The dress had big puffy sleeves from the shoulder to the elbow, and then little tight sleeves with lots of buttons down to her wrist, and until the splint came off, she couldn't get her arm through the sleeve. She kept going to see Uncle Will, going to see Uncle Will. Finally, the week before Easter, he unwrapped her arm. It was well. Easter morning, my mother was the first person out of bed. She had her dress on, ready to go before anyone else was even awake. When my grandmother got up, she said, "Lucille, why are you up so early? Why are you already dressed? We haven't even had breakfast." My mother was so proud, she said, "I'm ready to go to church so people can look at me." And my grandmother said, "We're not ready. I have to feed and dress the children. You are in the way. Why don't you walk out in the yard, and if the daffodils are blooming, pick us some flowers." My mother went out in the yard. over by the barn was the horse. She thought, I know how to do it now. I've been thinking about it. So she walked over to the horse, opened the gate beside the horse, climbed to the top of the gate wearing her new Easter dress. And just the way she had figured out how to do it, she jumped backwards, landed on the horse with both legs on the same side. The horse took a big leap, threw her right back off the way she had come, and she landed crumpled up on her left arm and broke it in almost exactly the same place. Well, Uncle Will came back. He still had the splints. They had to cut her out of the dress. She never did get to wear the dress. They put her arm on the table, pulled her arm, strapped it up in the splints. Oh, did I love that story? My grandmother said, now, boys, now that you've heard the story, go over there and feel of your mother's arms. And when we would run our fingers along the outside of her arm, between her elbow and her wrist, on each arm there was a big knot where the bones had broken and healed back. And I thought, we didn't invent trouble. We inherited it from our mother. My goodness, all the things we've done put together never hurt either one of us as much as that. When I got to be about 12 years old, that story became more important than ever. You see, up until then, we'd lived far out of town where my brother and I had no neighbors with whom we could play. And all we could do was play together. It was miserable. But when I was 12 and my brother Joe was 10, we moved to a new house in the edge of town, and next door we had neighbors. Right through the backyard lived the Leatherwoods. Larry's little brother Ronnie and my little brother Joe were about the same age, just about 10 years old, and every afternoon we had playmates right through the backyard. We would come home from school, go over to Larry and Ronnie's house and get something to eat. And then they'd come with us back over to our house and we'd get something to eat. And then it was usually Larry, the biggest of all of us, who would say, "You want to play football?" We loved playing football. The front yard of our new house was perfectly flat, longer than it was wide, a perfect football field. We would go outside, get the football, and then the first thing we would do every day, the four of us, we would go through the big ritual, choosing up teams. It always came out the same way, big boys against the little boys. You see, we told our little brothers it wouldn't be fair for brothers to play on the same team, and they couldn't ever figure out there was another way you could do it. Now, there was only one problem with playing football. Right at the end of our football field, in the center of our new house, there was the picture window. And every time we would go out to play football, my mother would go in the living room and talk to the window. She would say things like, "You're going to get broken. I know you're going to get broken. I'm just getting myself ready for the time when it comes. I just know it's going to happen. It's coming. I just don't know whether it's going to be today or not." One day, my dad came up with new rules to save the window. He gathered us all together and he said, "Now, boys, there are new rules for football in the yard. Let me tell you about the rules. This is a special folded back football field." We said, "What does that mean?" He said, "That means as he pointed away from the house. Both ends are down there. No matter who gets the ball, go that way. Here are the rules. No kicking toward the window. No throwing toward the window. No passing toward the window. No running toward the window. No talking about the window. Do not even look at the window. We don't want it to get broken. We had the craziest football games in the world because no matter who got the ball, they had to run the other way. The hard part was kicking off because, you see, we had to kick away from the window. And then when the other side got the ball, they were supposed to run away from the window. But we could never catch the ball anyway, so we would just kick. It would flop on the ground. We would turn around and keep going. One day we headed outside to play, and my mother gave her always perpetual last moment warning. Don't get hurt, boys. Be sure you play touch football. I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard because I thought, how in the world can you tackle somebody and mash them down into the ground without touching them? Of course we play touch football. We touch all that we can. Well, we started playing, and all of a sudden, Larry and I kicked off to Ronnie and Joe. My little brother Joe was about 10 years old, and he had not caught a football for about 25 years. He had never caught a football, but that day Larry kicked, and the ball landed in Joe's arms. He didn't know what to do. He just stood there. Now, Ronnie didn't start blocking for him. No, Ronnie knew the rules. He turned around and started running the other way. And Larry and I jumped on Joe. We touched him all the way down to the ground. We almost touched him all the way under the ground. And when he got up, he was funny looking. His right shoulder went straight out the way it always had. His left shoulder went down, down, down. We had broken his collarbone clean snap in two. My mother came running out there. She didn't even take time to get mad. She just put him in the car, and they headed to the hospital. At the hospital, the doctor who worked on my little brother strapped him up with a sort of figure eight strap that pulled his shoulders way, 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 way back. And when he got home with his shoulders strapped back, we started calling him Chicken Boy. We would sneak up behind him and go, "Park, park, 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 look, Chicken Boy, Chicken Boy, Chicken Boy, go to lay an egg, Chicken Boy." Oh, he would get so mad, but he was so hurt and strapped up, he couldn't do anything. Now, we broke my brother Joe's collarbone in the late winter time, and he hoped it would get well by Easter. Because when we had a little spring break at Easter, our family, who never went anywhere, we were going on a little trip. My brother Joe said, "Chicken Boy is not going. Everybody I know at home has made fun of me. They say, 'Go to lay an egg, go to lay an egg, brock, brock, go to lay an egg.' I'm not going on a trip to some place where people I don't even know are going to call me Chicken Boy. If I don't get well, I'm not going." And that was that. Well, my mother wanted so much to go on the trip. She kept taking my little brother to the doctor, taking him to the doctor, hoping he would get well. And sure enough, on the Thursday before Easter, the doctor unstrapped my brother. He was not Chicken Boy anymore. We got home from the doctor's office. My mother called my dad at work and said, "We get to go. We get to go. He's well." And my dad said, "Well, I have an idea. why don't I take off tomorrow, Friday, and we'll go a day early. You get things all packed up. My mother started packing the suitcase. My brother and I tried to help, and then she told us we were in the way. We should go outside and play. We went out in the yard. Over in their yard, there was Larry and Ronnie. My brother Joe went running up to the fence, waving his arms, saying, "Look at me, look at me. I'm not Chicken Boy anymore." And Larry said, "Good. Want to play football?" We headed to the front yard. We chose up teams. Larry and I kicked off to Ronnie and Joe. Now, no one would believe it if I actually said that my brother Joe caught the ball again. He didn't. Ronnie caught it. But Ronnie knew exactly what to do with it. Ronnie gave the ball to Joe. And when Ronnie turned and ran the other way, Larry and I jumped on Joe and mashed him into the ground. When he got up, he was very funny looking. This time, his left shoulder went straight out the way it was supposed to, and his right shoulder went down, down, down. We had broken the other collarbone. Larry and Ronnie got up and ran home before my mother got out there. My little brother Joe just crawled over and climbed in the car and waited for her. She came out, they headed to the hospital, and in no time, Chicken Boy was back. Well, we didn't get to go on the trip. But that night, we had a little show, the kind of show our parents at the supper table. By now, my mother was mad about both times, and for some reason, she was mad at me. Oh, you should have heard her. What in the world were you thinking about? Were you thinking about anything in this world? Are you just going to break all of his bones? You want me to just give you a list of bones so you can break one and check it off and break one and check it off and break one and check it off? At school, they think you're smart. That shows what they know at school. My daddy on the other side of the table was going, ha, 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 ha. And that made her mad at him. She looked at him and said, "It is not funny. There is not one funny thing about this. Look at your son. Look at your son. Tell him how smart he is." My daddy looked at me and he said, "Son, you're smart. You know a lot better than to break your own bones the way your mama did it." And oh, that made her so mad, she could hardly talk for a whole day. Well, in a little while, my dad gathered us together, and he said, "The window is now safe. The window will never get broken during a football game." And we all said, "How do you know that?" And my dad said, "It's very simple. There's a new rule for football. No more football." And that's the last game we played in that big front yard.
I want to thank Donald Davis for sharing that story with us. Boy, broken bones, double broken bones, must run in his family. So have a safe Easter. No broken bones about it.
That's all the time we have at the Story Mine. Have a happy Easter. Goodbye.